From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. When the psychiatrist Carl Jung died in 1961, he left a legacy equal to that of his mentor, Sigmund Freud. He also left behind a book. Jung worked on it for 16 years. It contained the genesis of his ideas. He referred to it as the Red Book, after its red leather cover. It was never published until now. The massive volume is on sale for a hefty $200, and the original is on display for the first time ever. Karen Michelle has the story from New York.
The trailer for the Red Book, the book, not the film, should there be one, calls it the most anticipated publishing event of the year. The jumpy, noirish flicklet makes you expect Tom Hanks or Harrison Ford in the next frame. Instead, we get an ominous clip of Carl Gustav Jung in suit and tie.
The only real danger that exists is man himself.
Jung, it seems, also thought there was a danger that people would think him mad after seeing the Red Book's sometimes psychedelic paintings. Daniel Baumann is Carl Jung's great-great-grandson and president of the Jung Institute.
It is definitely not a book of a person which is crazy. Definitely not.
Still, in a 1959 interview, Jung acknowledged that was open to interpretation.
My relation to reality was not particularly brilliant. I was often at variance with the reality of things.
Jung's version of reality is reflected in the Red Book's many dialogues with the mythical characters of his dreams and waking fantasies. Its ornate calligraphy and painting reminiscent of the Middle Ages and books of hours. All of it was hand-done, at night, after his clerical work, his writing, his teaching, and time with his family.
It's something which is, I would say, very personal. A very, very personal testimonial of a journey, of an inside journey of a person. We have to be careful on that. So I said, should we protect that?
Baumann's thoughts echo those of other family members. Ever since Jung's death in 1961, 2 months after Daniel Baumann's birth, the heirs kept the Red Book hidden away, ultimately in a Swiss bank vault. Outside of the family, only a very few people in Jung's close circle saw the book. A mystique surrounded it, even for Baumann.
I never saw it. There are many things which were taboo within the work that he did, and the Red Book was one of that.
Jungian scholar Dr. Sonu Shamdasani had seen a few facsimile pages made during Jung's lifetime. Shamdasani was eager to see all of it and wanted to translate the volume into English. It took him 3 years of visits to the family to convince them that it would be okay for the book to be brought out of hiding. It took him another 13 years to translate it and write more than 1,000 footnotes.
This has lasted longer than the Trojan War.
Because this is no simple narrative, it's Jung's voyage of discovery into his deepest self.
The overall, say, narrative of the book is how Jung recovers his soul, recovers meaning in his life through enabling the rebirth of the image of God in his soul. In so doing, he created a psychology that created a vehicle for others to regain meaning in theirs.
Jung began his process of self-discovery very young, as he recalled in 1959.
In my 11th year, on my way to school, it was just as if I had been walking in a mist, and I stepped out of it, and I knew I am. I am what I am. And then I thought, what have I been before? And then I found that I had been in a mist, not knowing to differentiate myself from things. I was just one thing among many things.
Nearly 30 years after that childhood revelation, Jung had a bookbinder make a 12-by-16-inch red leather-covered volume, filled with thick, blank pages. Into this, he poured his explorations into himself. The first words are, "The way of what is to come." He goes on to quote from Nietzsche, Goethe, Dante, the Old and New Testaments. Among the mythological characters he creates to help him find his way is a stern-faced, white-bearded man with enormous wings. Jung described them as kingfisher's wings and called the man Philemon. Martin Brouwen is the chief curator at the Rubin Museum of Art, where the Red Book is on display. Swiss, like Jung, he studied the images and the text.
Philemon seems to be a wise man who seems to give Jung good advices. Jung describes some visions, some weird visions with dead people, with blood appearing here and there. And very often he comes to a conclusion in the end of a passage and Philemon is giving him the correct interpretation.
On page 50 of the book, there's a painting that looks like a pattern found in an Eastern rug. The background is a Chinese red with squiggles of green and yellow and blue that resemble Arabic script. Translator Sonu Shamdasani reads from the incantations Jung wrote in the center of the painting.
Christmas has come. The god is in the egg. I have prepared a rug for my god, an expensive red rug from the land of mourning.
Jung never actually finished the Red Book, as his great-great-grandson Daniel Baumann explains.
There was only one last word written, which is Möglichkeit, possibility. And the sentence stops within that. So I like that very much, also on the symbolic level. It can go on, possibly.
And if it's not possible to get to the Rubin Museum in Manhattan to see the original Red Book, or afford the $200 to buy the translation, there's always the trailer on YouTube. For NPR News, I'm Karen Michel in New York.